The first woman to be named to the Supreme Court of the United States works in a sunny office filled with family photographs.
And this is my grandmother.
She was living in Wichita, Kansas, and that would be before she married my grandfather.
Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's office is also decorated with several handsome Indian baskets and blankets, souvenirs of the place where she was raised. A huge ranch, 160,000 acres, one-fifth the size of Rhode Island, on the border of Arizona and New Mexico. With her brother Alan, Justice O'Connor has written a book about her early years. It's called Lazy Bee, Growing Up on a Cattle Ranch in the American Southwest.
We're here to talk about your book. But for the record, I have to ask if you will discuss with me any pending court decisions, any cases that are before the court, any of your thinking about those cases.
Well, you know that's just the kind of thing that I'm not able to discuss with you, so I'll pass on that.
Fine. We'll talk about this ranch then. The Lazy Bee. You rode a horse on that ranch from the age of what? How old were you, do you think, when you...
Well, I don't even remember.
That's how young
you were. I know by the time I was two that one of our cowboys would take me up on the horse and ride around the yard area there at the ranch headquarters with me. And as soon as I was able to sit on the horse by myself, I'm sure I was doing the same thing on my own. And as my legs grew a little longer and could reach the stirrups, then I could go longer distances.
This was an institution, the Lazy Bee. It was that big. And there was no room, though, funnily enough, given the name, there was no room for laziness.
Nobody was lazy.
And everyone there in this vast terrain was expected, if you came upon a problem, to solve it.
Exactly, because there wasn't anyone you could call. There was no yellow pages, and you look through and you find a repairman or a painter or an electrician or a plumber. We had to keep everything going, and that took a little doing.
You noticed as a little girl that the paint on the screen door was chipped and that door needed some work. Would you tell that story, please?
We had a screen door leading from the back porch outside. It got a great deal of use. The paint is chipped off, and it looked pretty scruffy. And I undertook the job of trying to paint it and freshen it up a little bit. So I worked at it a while, and my father came along to inspect it. And he noticed that it really hadn't been done properly. And he thought maybe I should start over and sand the wood first and get it thoroughly prepared and try to do it right. Because if you're going to do something, Sandra, you'd better do it right.
And so?
And so I had to start all over, let the paint, get the new paint off, use sandpaper, and get the old paint off and get the wood all sanded and ready, and then do it all over again.
And then he came back and said, you might put a little masking tape on the hinges
right,
of that door.
Yes, to protect it so that you don't paint the hinges at the same time.
I notice that your voice gets stronger each time you're conveying one of your father's commands.
Right.
And when you'd finished the screen door, over supper, I guess, wasn't it, that night, and you said, did you see that I finished the door? And he said, yes, I did. And that was all the thanks you got.
That's right.
You were raised that way then. Very restrained.
Yes.
Lots of expectations.
Yes. Not a lot of lavish praise. Just an expectation that you would do the job well.
And it sounds, too, as if there wouldn't be much scolding if you didn't. There'd be some suggestions as to how to do it better.
Yes. Yes. But you knew, if you didn't do it well, that you had somehow failed to meet my father's expectations.
What do you think, Justice O'Connor, knowing a man like your father, learning the values of doing it yourself, do it as well as you can, mm-hmm. How do you think that shaped you?
I learned that people matter regardless of their background. They can have remarkable qualities that we ought to learn about and appreciate. And I think I learned the value of hard work,
and of trying to do a job as well as you could, and a certain amount of independence, because to live as we lived, you had to be able to manage yourself somehow.
Mm. You were the eldest of three, and there were 9 years between you and your next sib.
Yes.
So, when they came along, were you a bossy older sister?
I'm sure I was, but I was mostly away at school, so I didn't have much chance to be bossy.
That was really so interesting to me. From the age of six on,
yes,
you left the ranch. You were sent from the ranch to El Paso, where you lived with your grandparents, so you could be properly schooled.
Yes. It's a terrible dilemma for ranch families who live in as remote a place as we lived. What to do when the children need to go to school? In our case, I had a grandmother living in El Paso, and I stayed with her all those years.
Must have been so wrenching, though, that first time they drove you into town to put you on that train, 6 years old.
I was homesick the whole time I was in school in El Paso. My grandmother was very affectionate, and I had friends in school, but I really missed the ranch.
Your brother Alan began taking over more and more of the management of the Lazy Bee, and after your father died, he ran it for some years, and then sold it off piece by piece because nobody else in the family wanted to keep running it.
Right.
And you write that you've never been able to bring yourself to go back.
That's right. I don't know if you're like I am, but if I have loved something very much, and if it has been extremely important to me, then I prefer to keep it in my memory as I knew it and remembered it, rather than to risk seeing it again and be disappointed in something.
I understand that very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Justice O'Connor.
You're welcome.
Sandra Day O'Connor was appointed to the Supreme Court in 1981 by President Ronald Reagan. The justice has written a memoir called Lazy Bee, Growing Up on a Cattle Ranch in the American Southwest. And Robert, there's a passage about life on the ranch that really struck me. I highlighted it for you over
there. Yes, this is at the very end of the book almost, when she writes, reflecting on her childhood, verbal skills were less important than the ability to know and understand how things work in the physical world. It's hard to imagine a less physical world and a world more reduced to the reality of language than sitting on the United States Supreme
Court. Absolutely. And today she says her life is all about being a wordsmith, and it's not anything she learned on the Lazy Bee. She said it wasn't very high on the totem pole of values there.